Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's all stand to our feet if we would and open our Bibles to First John chapter 5. I'm going to take a study tonight of 1 John chapter 5. And beginning reading at verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we read such simple words tonight. He that believeth that Jesus Christ, or that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. What simple words. And yet how these words have been overlooked by so many who profess themselves to be Christians. Father, we would that you would help us as we examine thy word tonight. We pray, Father, that our spirits would be humble, that your spirit would be predominant. As Brother Bram said, that you are the absolute, your word. And that you would have the preeminence, Father, in this service, in our hearts, in our minds. Now we just commit our study into thy keeping. Be with us, Father, and prepare us for the going home, for we ask it humbly, in Jesus Christ's name, thy beloved Son. Amen. You may be seated now. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now we know that this word Christ comes from the root word which means to anoint, or it speaks of the anointed, or can speak of the anointer himself. So we must look at the context of what John is saying here to understand which way this word is to be used. If we read it, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the anointing is born of God, we read it wrong. If we read it, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the anointer is born of God, we've read it wrong. But whosoever believeth that Jesus is the anointed is born of God, we've read it right. So we must look at the context that John is saying here to understand which way the word is being used. And we see that he's speaking of the anointed one. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, we read, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So God made him Christ. God then anointed him. In fact, we read in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we see then that he was anointed by God. That would not make him the anointer then. And it would not make him the anointing. But it simply makes him the anointed one, the one that God anointed. Now, in getting back to verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, he continues by saying, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. What does that sentence tell you? Everyone that loveth him that begat. What's a begatter? Who is a begatter? Who in here is a begatter? Michael, you're not a father? You're a begatter. A begatter, one who begats, is a father. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that fathered, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Begotten of the Father. In other words, who is the Son of the Father. Notice here that he speaks of one that begat and another that was begotten. Therefore, there is one that is a father and the other is a son. So you see in this 1 John 5 and verse 20, almost every verse of Scripture, John is talking about the relationship between the Father and the Son. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God, and we keep His commandments. Now remember, God is what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is the Word. And so he says, we know that we love the children of God when we love God, or when we love the Word, and keep His commandments, His Word. Now remember, God is the Word, and in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and so those who love God love His Word. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. And the word commandment here was taken from a Greek word that means authoritative prescription. So we see then that God is the great physician. The great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. Verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How many people have spoken of this overcoming of the world? For whosoever is born of God, and that's a big dilemma amongst Christianity, because Brother Bram said the devil wants you, if you are born again, he wants you to think you're not. And if you're not born again, he wants you to think you are. He wants to keep you in doubt. And if you're born of God, what does that mean? If you're born of God, what is the word of? It's an acronym. What does it mean? Out from. So if you're born out from God, what does that mean? Huh? You're a son. And God is your Father. For whosoever is born of God, whosoever is a son of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, it is not our faith as though we have a faith that is different from the faith of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2 that we are saved by the faith of Him. From Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So the one that's living is actually Christ in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not my faith in the Son of God. No, no, no. Because it's not my faith that I have in Jesus Christ that saves me. It's His faith that He died on the cross. That's what saved you. By one sacrifice, it's already been done. It's not how much I can work myself up. It's not Him that runneth, Him that willeth, but it's God that shows mercy. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I am now living in the flesh, I am living by the faith of the Son of God. I'm now living by His faith, who loved me and He gave Himself for me. Ephesians 1 verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access by confidence by the faith of Him. So you don't have faith and confidence, and you don't even have boldness on your own faith. How many places you go, how many churches you go, and the people are taught that they've got to have this faith, they've got to muster this faith, we've got to have this great resurrection faith. Huh? It's not your faith, it's His faith. He had the faith to be raised up. Amen. And if the Spirit that was in Him is in you, it will raise you from the dead. So what kind of thing are we looking for? Resurrection faith. It's His faith we should be looking for. Help me to get aside from my thoughts, Lord. Help me to be like Your Son, Jesus. Help me to not have my own thoughts, my own word, my own actions, my own will. But let's have His will. Let me have His will. Let me come to the place where it's not me. It's not my faith. It's not I'm going to get this great mustering faith that I'm going to build myself into a faith and I'm going to get resurrected. Hogwash. Jesus wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus cried out to God, and the Bible says, though He feared, yet He was a son. And we wonder about the things coming down on the earth.
Hallelujah.
We wonder about the plagues that are coming forth in the earth. We wonder about whether we need to have Brother Branham come back in a tent or not come back in a tent, or what we're going to do. We say, well, we don't have enough faith for healing, much less resurrection. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ had the faith for resurrection. And we don't live by our faith. We live by His faith.
Amen.
If God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. I think that answers some questions that we might have had. People always looking forward, always looking backward and failing to recognize what God is doing right now. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. And Brother Bram said, I was in His thinking when he died on the cross. Therefore, I died with Him. Nevertheless, it's not I that liveth, but Christ is living in me. And the life that I am living in this flesh, I am living by the faith of the Son of God. He made it possible for me to believe. He made it possible for me to step aside from my own thinking because I saw it can be done. I'm having a hard time with it. I think you are too. But it's been done. Our older brother showed us the way. He showed us that if we could just step aside, and the thing of it is, as Paul said, if the life that was in Him, if the Spirit that was in Him dwells in you, it also will quicken your mortal body. And we think that we've got to muster up some kind of great faith so that we can quicken this body. Let me tell you something, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. Not you shall quicken your mortal body. It's not you that willeth. It's not you that runneth. It's God that showeth mercy.
Amen.
God is waiting for His sons to come to the mindset of His firstborn son. To let our own thinking go and to receive the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. In whom we have boldness. As I said before, if you could do anything to merit favor with God, that'd be like saying, well, Adam, I ran over your son. I'm sorry, but I'll mow your lawn for a couple of weeks, make up for it. You'd say, well, you'd probably get mad at me pretty... Well, not only mad at you, you'd be pretty upset. Well, listen. You think you can do anything to undo the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? You think your actions can add to God? He's a solitary God. You can't add to God. You think all the things that you do can take... You know, the evil things you do can take away from God? You're not going to take away from Him. You think you can disturb God because you get angry with God? You're not going to disturb Him. In whom I am well pleased. Is that what God said about His Son?
Amen.
Well, what is Paul saying here in Ephesians 1? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. We have faith, we have access to God, our Father. And we have boldness to come before His throne of mercy. Not by any actions you did, but by the faith of His Son who believed when God said He would raise Him up. He stepped forward and allowed Himself to be sacrificed because he believed God would raise Him up. Hallelujah. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, not God the Son. We got a billion Trinitarians in the world, and none of them have that overcoming of the world. Because only he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, not God the Son of God. Now here's a bold statement. John tells us that those who believe that Jesus was the Son of God are those who have overcome the world. You say, whew, boy. I still got a few problems with the world. I'm still pulled by maybe country music. Or I'm still pulled by maybe videos. And I'm still pulled by maybe sassing my parents. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe there's one God. He had a son. Why am I having trouble overcoming the world? Verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, that doesn't answer your question, who is he that overcometh the world, does it? Well, let's go back to what he said, that in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he, not she, not plural, not you, not me, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he? It was Jesus. He's our overcoming. He is our victory. He is our strength. He's our redeemer. He's our rock. He's our comfort. He believed the report that he was the Son of God. And that is the record which God gave us of his Son. Now Paul said in Romans 8, in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Too many people say, oh, my spirit just bears witness with that. God don't care what your spirit bears witness to. You really think he does? How many people are sincere? Michael and I talked about that today. Brother Brown said, you can be so sincere that you offer your children to crocodiles in sacrifice. Now that would take a lot of sincerity to throw your child into a volcano, or to throw your child in the hungry jaws of an alligator and watch your child be chomped to death. Your sincerity means nothing to God. Go back to verse 6. This is he that came by water and spirit, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And Paul said in Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Notice he didn't call our spirit the Spirit. There's the Spirit, which is God's Spirit, and there's our spirit. And Brother Bram said that you go back to Ezekiel 37, and God said, I will give you another spirit. Brother Bram said, that's a welcoming spirit. He said, because if you didn't have that welcoming spirit, he said, you can't even get along with yourself, much less get along with God. So he says, he gives you a welcoming spirit first. Then he gives you another heart. He said, a new heart, a new spirit, new heart first, which is, Brother Branham said, the new heart is a new understanding. Paul said that the eyes of your heart may understand. You see? It's a new understanding. And then he says it gives you another spirit. Brother Branham said, that's new desires.
Amen.
And then he gives you his spirit. Notice that when you've got that new heart, that new understanding, that new desire that comes with the understanding, then God gives you his spirit. Why? Because Brother Branham said that your spirit couldn't get along with God. You can't get along with yourself. So God gives you a welcoming spirit to receive his spirit. Then the spirit bears witness with your spirit. Let's read it again. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. I like that. God our Father is the one who bears witness with our spirit and adopts us as His sons and daughters. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and we know the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're not three, they're one. Therefore we must know how these three are one, because they are not one like your finger is one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Didn't Jesus say in John 5 and verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true? And then he said, my Father beareth witness of me. He said, I have a greater witness than that of John, the Father that sent me. He beareth witness of me. So what would you rather have? Well, I bear witness to this message. I sure bear witness to God. I sure bear witness that there is a God. So what? So what? About 5 billion people in the world bear witness that there's a God. I'd rather have His Spirit bearing witness with my spirit that I am His Son. John said, beloved, now are you sons, and it doth not yet appear what you shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And notice before that, he said, beloved, isn't it a wonderful thing? Let's just read it, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. There you go. God identifying you as a son. Not you claiming to be a son. How many billions of people in the world claim that they're sons of God, daughters of God? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. You're not mine. So the great spirit, the Spirit of God, came down in this hour to claim his own. Brother Bram said he came wooing. God, the creator of the world, came wooing you and I. Hallelujah. John chapter 5 verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that his witness is true. And we get to verse 10 now. 1 John 5 and verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath, echoes, the witness in himself. Not echoes a witness, but echoes the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And what was that record God gave of his Son? Come on, you all know it. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Or, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the record that God gave of his son. This is my son. God identified himself with his son. The Spirit bore witness with the Spirit that was in him and came and indwelt him and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He that believeth on the Son of God hath, echoes, the witness, God's witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. So those people that do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but say he's God, the Son, or God in the role of a son, and they do not believe that God had a son because he's his own father, they're calling God a liar. Now the witness is God himself, his own spirit, bearing witness that the spirit that we have is from him. And verse 11, and this is the record that God gave to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. John 5:26, that the life was in God and God gave it to his son. Let's just turn to it real quickly. John chapter 5. In verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Where did the life of the Son come from? It came from the Father. He that loveth the one that begats, loves the one that's begotten. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that echoes the Son, what did the Son say? I and my Father are one. Right? How was that? Because he said, my Father's in me doing the works, not me that doeth the works, my Father that dwelleth in me. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. And he that echoes the Son, he that says the same thing in the same way that the Son said it, has life. Your sons. That's your evidence. And he that hath not the Son, he that echoes not the Son of God, hath not life. Jesus said, why cannot you hear my word? Even because there's nothing in you to receive it. These things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have life eternal, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, what is the name of the Son of God? What did Jesus say? He said, I came in my Father's name. And he said, you don't believe him, you don't believe me. Pretty interesting. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Father, I would, my will is that you take this cup from me. However, Father, I know that it's not my will that counts, it's your will that counts. Jesus had to change his own will if he was going to get what he was asking for. Yes. You ask according to the Father's will. I think it was Peter or James, I don't remember which one. I think it was James. He said, you ask but you have amiss. Or you ask but you have not, because you ask amiss. How do you ask amiss? You're not asking according to the will of God. What is the will of God? It's his word. People say, I wonder if it's the Lord's will that I be healed. It is the Lord's will that you're healed. It's already been done. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? It's already been done. The stinger's already been pulled out in Calvary. Press forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. You know, I learned a principle years ago. I was listening to a tape. My brother Vail is on faith. He's talking about how we always ask amiss. We don't ask according to God's will, so we don't get. Then we think that God's not even hearing us. Well, He hears you, but He's not going to answer. Not the way you want to answer. Lord, give me a Cadillac. He never said He'd give you a Cadillac. He said He would meet your needs. And so Brother Vail said, if you ask according to His word, then if you're going to ask according to His word, and you have a need in your life, look it up in His word where He promised it to you. There's over 800 divine promises of God in this Bible. You can have every one of them if you ask. Well, maybe not everyone, because I don't think if you're a husband you can ask for another husband. But if you're a woman, you can ask for a husband. You know what I mean. But you can ask for a spouse. You know, there's a scripture about that. The Bible says, he that getteth a wife getteth a good thing. So I said, Lord, You said he that getteth a wife getteth a good thing. And Lord, You also said that You would not withhold any good thing from those that ask. So I'm asking for a good thing. I'm asking for a wife. And I got a good thing. I got a good wife. When I was out of job, I said, Lord, You said that if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. I have a need. I am Your son. You are My father. And I know that You're not a man that You could lie, but Your word says that You will provide, and I'm asking You for a job. And I hadn't even finished that prayer, and the telephone rang, and I had a job. I had broken my back in two places when I was in college. Had to go arm over arm to get back to the car, drive back to the university where the university doctors looked, and they took an x-ray and they said it'd be 6 weeks before the shock in your body even comes to the place where the muscles will begin to start to move back toward connecting again. And I heard a man called William Branham. I didn't even know he was a prophet of God. But I read from his story where he's telling about his life story, and he said about how he claimed his healing. And he said, Mother, You can serve me those beans, which you could never hold down before. And he said he ate, I think it was, what, three platefuls or three scoopfuls? I don't remember. Three platefuls. And he said he began to throw up those beans, and he held his hand over his mouth and would not permit his body to reject them. And he forced them back down. And I said, if that man, with that faith, can get the healing for his stomach, then I can go to the same God who's my Father as well. And so the next day I stepped out on the ice with a broken back and had the greatest pain of my life shoot through my body on the first step onto the ice. But the second step, there was no pain, and I skated as normal as I ever had. Not so good, but not as good as Ron anyway. But I was able to skate. And not another problem. Jesus Christ is alive. By His stripes you're already healed. Amen. Just have enough faith in Him. Have the faith of the Son of God. He realized He had to come to a place where He sweated. Look, you don't think it was, you all think it was easy for Him, don't you? Because He was the Son of God. You're sons of God. You've been begotten of the Father by His Spirit, by His Word, the same as Jesus was. Only the flesh that you've got is a little bit cantankerous. His was actually the fused creation of God. But your body is a body. It's just, the body is not really you. You're identified with it. You're linked to it. But you don't have victory in the body. You have victory in the soul. That gives you victory in the body. The chief that was eating, they said, Chief, he said, Brother Branham, he said, since I've been born again, he said, two dogs war within me. Brother Branham said, who's winning, Chief? He said, the one I feed the most. Turn off the radios and put on the tapes. Put on the, listen to the Word of God. Listen, I enjoy it so much, I listen as much as I can. My wife sometimes thinks I maybe do it to ignore her, but I'm not doing it to ignore her. I'm doing it because I just enjoy so much listening to the promises of God. And you know what it does for me? It gets me turned away from the talk shows. That's nothing but negativity, and it nothing but drains your faith. And it gets me focusing on His faith. And I can't get enough of it. I listen to it all night long in my bed. I put those little ear pods in my ear and I listen to it. It's not, you know, it's not to avoid hearing myself snore. It's to listen, get so filled with the Spirit of God. Because you know how you get filled with the Spirit of God? You fill yourself with His Word. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they're life." Yes. What did He say in Deuteronomy 6? He said, train up your child. He said, talk of him in the house while you're sitting at the table, while you're walking along the way, at the gate, wherever you go. That's what our conversation should be. Do we have prayer with our children every day? I don't see any hands. I didn't ask you for your hands, so. Are we praying together? Or are we arguing? Is that our only conversation, is argue? Or is our conversation in heavenlies? Do we pray together? I really enjoyed it when Adam was coming by the house and we could come over here. And on a daily basis, we had prayer together. The invitation's for anybody. Just come. Come together, we just kneel down, we pray. Brother Branham said, you know, you can eat too much, you can sleep too much, you can work too much, you can play too much, but you can't pray enough. Oh, that men everywhere would come with holy hands lifted up in prayer. But this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So when you go to pray, take God's word back to Him. Say, Lord, I need a job, and You said these things about a job. And get your concordance out. Or if you got the little computer program we've given out free, put that in your thing and just churn it away. Find all those scriptural. Find every time that God said something and quote back His own word to Him. Fathers love to have their children quote their own words back to them. And if we know, and we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him, because we know it's according to His will, because it's right in His Word. Doesn't He say in His Word, I would that you all be in good health? Isn't it God's Word that you have good health? Then you should be giving it back to Him daily. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him his life. For them that sin not unto death. Wow. There's a sin unto death. I do not say that we pray for that. But if any man see his brother sin a sin, what's sin anyway? It's disbelief. It's unbelief. If any man see his brother do something which seems to be that which an unbeliever might do, or seems to be showing a lack of faith or lack of belief, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. What does the Bible say? Love what? A multitude of sin. Love covers, dear, a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of unbelief. I won't even get into that, but let's just ask ourselves, do we have enough love to cover a multitude? We might have enough love to cover a little bitty, itty bitty disagreement. But what about the big disagreements? God is love.
Amen.
Brother Brown said, God don't even see you. He just sees a sacrifice. All unrighteousness is sin. All unrightwiseness is sin, is unbelief. And there is a sin and unbelief not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, disbelieveth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. First John chapter 3. He said, he that is born of God, whosoever is born of God, verse 9, doth not commit sin. The Weiss translation says, does not initiate or habitually remain in sin. Brother Vail actually taught this at the Branham Tabernacle when Brother Branham was there. And he showed where this word, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, does not initiate sin. You might get trapped into it, but you didn't go looking for it. David looked out his window and saw the woman naked bathing there in broad daylight of his castle. David didn't go looking to commit adultery. He got caught up into a trap. Whosoever is born of God does not go looking for sin, does not initiate the sin. For his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him. And he, God, cannot sin, cannot disbelieve, because he is born of God. So if you're born of God, God's seed remaineth in you. You mean when I'm sinning, I'm still a son of God? Listen, you're still God's son, whether or not you disbelieve. But he that's born of God does not keep habitually making the same mistake over and over and over again. In fact, I think there's a proverb about that, and I don't remember how it goes, but you know, there is one that we use in the common language. It says, if dog bite me, shame on dog, but if dog bite me twice, shame on me. And something else to this order, that he that makes the same mistake over and over again is a fool. Or there's something not connected right. We ought to learn by our mistakes. That's why God allows you to make mistakes. I always said mistakes are like stepping stones, showing you a better way. You see? God allows for mistakes. That's why he doesn't look at your actions. He looks at the blood. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, he's not looking at your mistakes. You make a mistake, you're still my daughters. Sometimes I may not be happy with it. Sometimes I may put on an act just to maybe get across to you that it's not a wise thing to do what you did. And sometimes, you know, if you're parents, sometimes you know that you may think, well, it's not that big a deal that I need to do something, but it is a big deal, because if they do it again and again and again, it can really become a bad thing. So I'm going to put on a show, and I'm going to show a little anger, and I'm going to put on, you know, and cause them to really take note. And then you look them in the eyes and you let them know you love them. But as a parent, you have to do that, because you're still instructing them in righteousness. verse 19. And we know that we are of God, out from God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And if there is anyone in here tonight that doesn't believe that the whole world is lying in wickedness, you're either too young to understand what's going on out there, or you're brain dead. Even the world knows the whole world is lying in wickedness. Even the 99% of the people you talk to out there know that we're at the end time. Things can't get much worse. And finally, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Well, who is this him that is true? If you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 10 and reading from verse 10, we read, but the Lord is the true God, he is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. So notice, but the Lord is the true God. Now John says in 1 John 5 and 20, and we know that the Son of God is come, so we believe that he is speaking of the Son of God, and he's telling us there's something about this coming that we should know. And this coming hath given us an understanding. And in this thought, John is telling us that there's something that the Son of God did for us in his coming, and that is to give us an understanding. And the understanding was given for the purpose that we may know him that is true. So we must ask ourselves this question: was the coming of the Son of God to give us an understanding of the Son himself? Or did he come that we might know him that is true? And Jeremiah tells us the one that is true is the one and true God. Verse 10, but the Lord is the true God. So we continue reading, and who do you think this one that John is speaking of here? He said, the Son of God came that we might have an understanding of him that is true. Now, Scripture tells us that Jesus did not come to declare himself, but he came to declare his Father. In John 1, it says, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He, the Son, hath declared him, the Father. John 8, then said they unto him, where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And John 8:54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say that I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. Because you say that you know him when you don't know him, making yourself a liar. But he says, but I know him and keep his saying. Let's turn to John chapter 17. And we'll read from verse 1 to 3. John 17, verse 1 to 3. In fact, before we do, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Hold your finger there in John. Deuteronomy 32. And we'll read from verse 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without inquiry, just and right is he. So who is the true God? God is the true God. Now, let's go to John chapter 16. In verse 13, keep holding your finger in John 17. John 16, and we'll read verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And now John 17, verse 1 to 3. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So, according to the Son of God, Jesus himself, who is the only true God? Is it the Son or is it God? Okay. Notice verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So whose word did Jesus give us? God's word. Then God is the word, right? Then is the Son of God the word? He said, I gave them thy word. How about verse 17? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And remember, God is the word, and he's the only true God. Now, how about 21? That they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Notice, then Jesus is saying, look, my prayer, Father, is that they may be one, even as you and I are one. So if Jesus and God were one like your finger is one, then you and God can be one like your finger is one. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that God is the Word. I've given them thy Word. And that Word is what made me one with you, Father, because I have your Word. And your Word is what makes them one with you, Father. You see? Now, in John chapter 8, verse 54, Jesus answered and said, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I would be a liar like yourself. Now, I'm getting back to 1 John 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come, and his coming hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. So we see that the coming of the Son of God was to give us an understanding of the one that is true, which is God. And notice as John continues, and we are in him that is true. Didn't Jesus pray that in John 17? I pray, Father, that they will be in, we will come and make our abode in them. And he said, I pray that you will be in my Father, even as I am in my Father in me, and I in you, and you in me, etc., etc., etc. And so he says, and we are in him that is true, even, and the word even means in the same manner or in the same way as we are. Notice, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, in the same way that we are in his Son. This one that is true is the true God, and eternal life. But you see, the oneness read that, and they say, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God. So they say, his Son Jesus Christ is the true God. Well, now you've got two gods. Because you have one that's a Father, one that's a Son. But if you read it the way I read it to you, there's only one God, and Jesus came to declare that God. And we are in him that is true, and in the same way we are in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. The one that's true is the true God, even eternal life. Now that is how you must read that verse of Scripture. It speaks of the coming of the Son of God to manifest or make known or declare the Father to us in a way that we might know and understand the Father as have never known and understood prior to that coming. Therefore, there are three things that must happen in order for God to manifest himself in his word, seeing that he is word. Number one, there must be one who reveals himself. Number two, there must be one in whom he reveals himself. And number three, there must be one to whom he reveals himself. And so we see that it takes all three parts to make up the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is why they messed it up so badly back in the Alpha ministry of Christ to man. As you well remember by what we were told by the Apostle Paul, the gospel writers themselves, and even Irenaeus and Brother Branham, that the people did not understand the Godhead. And because they did not understand what the Scripture told them pertaining to how God would reveal himself, Then when Jesus, his own son, was born and lived among them, they did not understand how he fit in with the Father's plans in this great revealing of the mighty God among us. And so Paul gave us the key when he explained the Jesus factor in Colossians 5 and 19, when he said God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So we see here that just as there had to be a God revealing himself, yet we find that he always uses a vessel. And as in the Alpha, where he used the body of his dear son Jesus, he had to use a vessel in the Omega. The God who reveals, working through the one in whom he reveals, and it is this one in whom he reveals that is always so misunderstood. Jesus was misunderstood, Brother Branham was misunderstood. And anybody who's declaring and echoing the same thing will be misunderstood. Because the vessel is never seen to measure up to the expectations of the ones who are doing the viewing of this revealing. In John 1 verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Why? Well, because we read in Isaiah 15 verse 32, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And Corinthians 2 and 8. For had they known who he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so we look at this relationship between the Father and the Son, and we know that even before God framed the world, he had brought forth his Son to become a recipient of his glory. Jesus said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundations of the world. And therefore we see the great significance of the Holy Spirit, the great Father of glory, who has personally come down among us in this last hour, and he is here with the purpose of giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, Ephesians 1 and 12. We also see how important it is to receive the revelation and wisdom of God, for only those who receive it can in fact receive first the change in the inner man, which is needed first before we are to receive the body change that will then allow us to receive a rapturing or a catching away. Amen. So we see 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20 that John is talking about the only true God was declared by the Son of God. And as we read throughout the entire 1 John 5, he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And then the next time we hear from John, he says, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. And then he says, whosoever goes beyond the limits and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, echoes not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And recognizing, Father, as we look at the words of the Apostle John, he really understood the relationship between you and your Son Jesus. And we see how that he brought it forth in such a way that we could understand our relationship between you and us. And we recognize that, as he said, if we have this relationship, then we know that when we ask, we shall receive, if we ask according to your will. And so, Father, we ask according to your will. We have many needs, Father, and we ask, Father, for those needs, according to thy will. Give us scripture in our hearts. You said if we be any otherwise minded, you'd reveal it to us. So we ask, Father, that you would give us scripture, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.